Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here. I hope you've had a good week. It's been an interesting one, hasn't it? That storm that came through, I mean, man, we had 70s and 80s degrees for 2 days in a row. And, you know, the weather forecasters were talking about some big blizzard the next day. And I looked at Carrie and I said, that's impossible. There's no way. And then all of a sudden, this huge blizzard shows up, both mixed with wet snow and wind and all these, I think 200 some power lines, poles went down and power went out for a lot of us. We had almost 2 days full of no power, no heat, no water. God took care of us. We put together two puzzles. I don't know what you did to pass the time. We had lots of blankets. I heard some people had generators going, and we had like a kerosene heater for a little bit of the time. But you really realize how much you're dependent upon certain things but we made it. And I know there are some families that are still in need and others that have some complications because of it. And so we're going to look as a church, anything we can do to help out, to give or whatever. And if you want like to be a part of that, just let me know. Or if you have a need, please let me know. And we'll try to meet that, to be able to help care for you in the middle of that. Then we also have a church cleanup day this coming Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon at the church. If you would like to come and join us, please come on out. We will have some coffee and refreshments here. We're going to make the place all nice on some of the, like even washing down some walls and some pews and things like that, and windows outside and some yard work and straightening up some stuff for spring cleaning. If you'd like to come and serve and to help out with that, come on by anytime between 8 and noon this Saturday, the 29th, and we will gladly use your help. All right, if you've got your Bibles, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. And so we're in Matthew chapter 8, 1 to 17 today. Matthew 8, 1 to 17. And we're going to look at some healing stories of Jesus as we're working our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And boy, this chapter is powerful. And I hope it is powerful for you too. It says this: when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him, and he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus then entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. He said, "Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" And the centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And so I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be just as you have believed it would." And his servant was healed in that hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever immediately left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many were demon-possessed and were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all of the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Today, we want to look at four healing stories, and they are beautiful. Each one teaches us a little something about our Savior, his compassion for the sick, his reaching across the line to heal both Jew and Gentile alike, his concern for the personal, like Peter's mother-in-law, his power over every evil, like the healing of the demon-possessed. Each of these stories helps us see the heart of Jesus Christ and his authority to heal and his love for us in the middle of our sufferings and our personal struggles. He is the God who hears our prayer. As I was studying the scripture this week, you know, I looked at some of the commentaries and I came across this really good quote by Warren Wiersbe. He said, God is not obligated to heal every sickness that we have, but he has promised to save every sinner who comes to him. And that really resonated with me, because even the Apostle Paul prayed for God to remove a particular temporary suffering in his life, but God never did. Instead, God did something even greater. He saved Paul, you know, and he used that thorn in Paul's flesh to get his servant to better trust him and to see him and to know him. And so instead of becoming bitter by it, Paul began to see that his grace is sufficient for me, his power made known in my weakness. Sometimes the Lord removes that sickness and suffering from us. Other times he may use it for our good and his glory and eternal things, like someone else coming to truly know him and his love. We never know. It's always, you know, hard for us to know why something exists or is in our life. But we have to give every why to God and know his character and his ways, and that he loves us and that he is good and that he is forever. And he always does what is best. Even if we can't see it right away, we cling to him, the one we know and we love. I want us to look at each of these four healing stories this morning and all that they can do to teach us. And just to remind us before we get into them, Matthew loves grouping things together in his gospel. He doesn't always write chronologically, but he puts, for example, all the teachings of Jesus together in one section, all the parables in another chapter. And so what we're finding in Matthew 8 and 9 is him putting 10 miracles of Jesus, one right after another, into two chapters. And who knows if they happened all right together, or if Matthew is just telling us all these miracles that he remembers that all proved for him who Jesus was, that he was the Lord and the Messiah, the Son of God come in the flesh, and for who else could do what he did. Matthew says, here's the proof right here. Look at all these miracles. So the first miracle we read about is the healing of the leper. This one really hits my heart. Here is a man who obviously had been listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We know that because it specifically says when Jesus came down from the mountain where he had been preaching, and he came down into the crowd below, this man was the first one to meet him. This man with leprosy. He wasn't even supposed to be there. This man comes up to Jesus and he kneels before him in front of everybody and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, let me remind you, if you don't know, of what leprosy really meant in the law back then about it. Leprosy was a skin disease and was one of the worst diseases a person could get. If a person had leprosy, they were in pain. I mean, their body was dying inch by inch. Painful sores would take over, and eventually that part would die and then fall off, making a person even more disfigured until they reached death. But beyond the physical pain was the other suffering, the isolation, the rejection, and the loneliness that went along with this disease. I am learning, you know, there's physical pain and ailment that we can get, like cancer, addiction, Alzheimer's, whatever. But often with those physical diseases can come emotional, relational suffering that sometimes we don't even think about. The fears that go with it, the loneliness, the whatever. Leprosy had this. But back in Bible times, the law was that if you had leprosy, you had to do certain things. You had to wear ripped up clothes to indicate to everyone who you were. And you had to shout unclean every time you were out in public. And you had to remain 6 feet away from everybody. Wasn't that our same law during COVID, 6 feet? Well, I read this one ancient rabbinical law even that said that if the wind was blowing, you had to stay 150 feet away. So now imagine if you're a leper living in Nebraska with all of our winds, you are in tough luck. I mean, these poor people were not only suffering in pain and the fear of death, but they had to face all of this by themselves and live away from their family and their friends and their community. They were quarantined cisterns designated just outside of every town, and they were caved off areas in the valley designated for lepers who would live and die out there. What made leprosy worse was even the judgment that went with the disease. The rabbis didn't preach compassion for lepers because they believed lepers were sick because of their own sin, that this was God's punishment for something that they did in life. And so what we read in Mark chapter 1, when this story is told, is that it says that Jesus was moved with compassion for the leper and reached out to touch him. And that's a huge verse that we might just skip over, but it's huge because people, sadly, back then did not have compassion for lepers. But Jesus did. Jesus modeled compassion, and he came to take up our sickness and carry our sorrows. He came to suffer with us, to bear with us, to be with us in our sufferings. Jesus had empathy towards the poor, the needy, the sick, the elderly, or the hungry. And Jesus is unique as a rabbi in both teaching compassion and also loving and modeling it towards the people the world often rejected. And to think that Jesus is God in the flesh makes this even more, for it reveals how God feels towards the sick and how he came to save everybody. Well, what we read is that this leper, what happens here in our scripture is that he crosses the line that he was supposed to stay behind just to get to Jesus. He broke the law. He was desperate. It's kind of like the scripture about the friends who broke through the roof where Jesus was teaching to lower their crippled friend down to him because they knew that Jesus could heal him. Well, this too was the leper. He had this kind of faith that if he could just get to Jesus, he would be made well. So imagine when everyone else in the crowd noticed that day who he was, a leper. They would have all gasped. They would have all pulled away. They would have all shouted, "Unclean," but not Jesus. Imagine how this man would have felt. Imagine how he would have smelt. Imagine what he must have looked like. Imagine for a minute if you were in the crowd with your kids and you had grown up in a culture that one touch by a leper meant that you yourself were unclean and now would be judged and that you might get sick and you and your kid might have to leave and live in the caves. Imagine what you would do if suddenly there was a leper. This would have been the scene when he made himself known to Jesus. But the man, we have to look past the disease sometimes in our life, don't we? Because the man down deep was just another man, just with a disease. He was a man who had been created by God too, had a life and a family before all of this, and it had been taken away. He was broken and needy and asking for help. He was the man Jesus was preaching to when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the pure in heart, for they will see God." Here is one of those broken, poor in spirit, mourning men who had nowhere else to turn but heard Jesus and decided to turn to him in the hopes that Jesus might heal him. And so here he comes, even to a place he's not supposed to be, and he falls at Jesus' feet in a sign of your worship, just like the woman with a reputation did, who came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears, so too this man comes, and he falls before the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been so broken, so needy, that all you could do was fall before the Lord. And you didn't care who saw you, even in front of a crowd that might have condemned you, who was judging you. You came still because you believed in Jesus, that he would not reject you, but that he saw you. So this man comes before Jesus in front of that crowd, and he said, Lord, if you are willing. And the word that he uses to address Jesus is Lord. And this is big because it's the same word that the people used to speak of God. Most people back then, even the disciples for a long time, used the word teacher or rabbi to address Jesus. But the first person that we read here in the Gospel of Matthew who calls Jesus Lord was this poor leper. He could see what others could not see, and that is why he knelt before him. He said, my Lord, you can heal me. And I love that he says, if you're willing, you can. For the word willing here is important. It is specifically referring to acting in accordance to your purpose. So what this leper is really saying is, Lord, I know you can, for you are the Christ. If it is within your purpose, please heal me. And what a beautiful, humble way to pray. He is saying, God, I want you to do this for my life. I want it more than anything. And I know that you're able. And so if it is your will, please heal this leprosy in me. But if your purpose is something different, if I must carry this, or if I must wait for that eternal and blessed healing and salvation, I will. But Lord, please, if possible, heal me. I know you can. Now, I would say this is faith in prayer. To believe first that he is able, but to allow whatever he wants, that's something more. To trust our everything, even our sufferings, to him. And I love that the man says, you can make me clean. Clean, he says. That word is so much more than healed. It means to be cleansed on the inside, purified. And isn't that what Jesus does for each of us and all of our sins? You know, we don't see sin as the disease that the Bible calls it, as the worst of all diseases. But when we come to Jesus and we ask for him to forgive us by his death on the cross, we're getting in that moment, all of us are, we're getting the best healing of all. A healing from the wages of sin, and which is death. We are getting salvation. What does it say in 1 John 1:9? It says, he purifies us from all our sins, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In other words, he takes the cancer of sin out. He heals us from the most deadly disease we got. Every one of us who comes to him, he does this. Jesus is our healer. And so this man, he's coming and he's asking for cleansing, not just a surface healing of the sores, but a deep eternal, I am well with my soul, healing. And Jesus provides that. And look at how the crowd is probably all falling back because this leper is near, but Jesus is drawing close to him. And as they're all worried about the leper might touching him, what does Jesus do? He reaches out and touches the leper. He touches him, which should mean now that Jesus is unclean. But the man is made clean by one touch of Jesus. And we learn from the other healing stories that Jesus doesn't have to touch a person to make them well. So why does he touch this man of all of them? Because in a way, Jesus is taking it. It's the loving thing to do. He touches a man who everyone else is running away from, a man who probably hadn't felt human touch in a long time. It's bold. It's compassionate. He touched him, saying, I am one with you. I'm not afraid of you. I see you. I feel you. I came for you, and I love you. Matthew 8:17 says he came to take up our infirmities and carry our sorrows. Jesus has done that with all of us in our sins. He didn't just erase them. He took them. He carried them to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who became who had no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God. In a way, Jesus took this man's leprosy. He became unclean himself so that this man might become clean. There is something, you see, bigger going on here in this story than what the crowd could even see. They saw a man healed of leprosy, but what they may not have seen is what it cost Jesus. Jesus had the power to heal, but for me, his love for the man and receiving him was perhaps the even greatest thing of all that day. I want you to put yourself in the place of the leper, coming before the Lord now in all of your sin and wretchedness. People around you may judge you, but your eyes are just on Jesus, for he looks at you unlike anyone else, and he receives you in, and he loves you, and so you fall at his feet, and all you can do is say, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And the Lord looks at you, and he reaches out and he touches you. And he says, "I am willing, be clean." And all that is within me, all the sin and the unrighteousness, it goes upon him. He removes it from me and bears it upon the cross. I am healed because of him. You see, the leper is really the story of all of us. The second healing story we read here in Matthew is the slave of a Roman centurion. A centurion was a Roman Gentile soldier who was in charge of 100 men. He would have been a man with power and wealth, a foreigner living among them. He would have been outside the circle of God's people, the Jews, whom they thought the Messiah had come to rescue them even from. But here Jesus, in this act, is healing one of the enemy. In fact, the first two miracles we're reading about here in the Gospel of Matthew are of outcast people, the leper and the Roman, two people groups the Israelites would have seen as the furthest away from God, are actually proving to be the first to believe in Jesus and his power, which proves John 1:12, which says that Jesus came to save his own, but his own didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God too. And that's what we see here. For just after the miracle of this Roman centurion servant, Jesus teaches in verse 11 that many are going to come from the east and the west and take their place at the feast of Abraham in the kingdom of heaven. And this was the language of the prophets, referring to the Lord's day, the great deliverance of God's people in the eternal kingdom. Jesus is saying Gentiles and Romans are going to be there around the table. People of other races and countries, and Jesus even issues a rebuke here to his own people. He says that some of the subjects of the kingdom, and including what he means here is the Jews, are going to be thrown out, some of them, that whoever doesn't believe but who has rejected the Messiah, even if they're Jewish, they're now going to miss out on the eternal kingdom of God that he has prepared for them. And so what we see here is the faith of the leper and the Roman and how they had what some of God's own people didn't have, faith in Christ as their Savior and their Lord to heal them. Now, a couple points about this story that we can't miss is that the Roman centurion is the one who says, "I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, Jesus." And this is so striking because a Jew would have never entered a Gentile home. Back then, besides touching a leper, the other way you could become unclean was entering a Gentile house. Jews would have never done it. But Jesus, in our story, is offering to go and enter this man's house to heal his servant. But before Jesus could go, it's the centurion who flips the script and says, "I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. Just say the word, and by your authority, my servant is going to be healed." This pagan Roman soldier, he had everything that God's people didn't. He had humility, a true vision of Jesus as God. He had faith. And that's why Jesus says, "Truly, I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith." But the other thing about this story is the use of the word authority. This man of power knew authority. He is the commanding officer of 100 men. Whatever he said, those soldiers did. He compares this to Jesus' authority over everything in this universe, even sickness. You know, I think about this in regards to the resurrection of Christ. Even death could not hold him. He was Lord even over that. He conquered it. And when he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And the Bible says in Matthew 28:18 that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And so Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, for surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. Authority wasn't just for Jesus while he's in the flesh on earth over certain kind of sicknesses, but he maintains that all authority now in heaven and over earth, just as he has given us the Holy Spirit to carry out his mission, Jesus has authority, the rule and the reign to carry it out in us, his people now. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or authorities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. There is no one higher, no name above his. He is above all. We need to remember that, and we need to look, you know, beyond the text here and see how Jesus, even on the cross, was high and lifted up. He was the suffering servant, but the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, who was in control the whole time and still is, and one day will return in the clouds. In John 19:11. I love this. Jesus is standing before Pilate, right before the cross. And he said, you would have no authority over me if it weren't given to you from above. What Jesus is saying is that even those in authority at that time only have it because God allows it for its carrying out his purpose. And so even the cross, our Lord was in control. He was over all, above all. He wasn't killed. He was laying down his life. You see, and so the authority word, important. The centurion is able to see it. He saw the authority of Jesus over everything and how all Jesus had to do was say the word and his servant would be healed. Do we have that kind of faith today in the midst of what's going on in our world? You know, maybe it's not the kind of authority, in other words, that we would just kind of demand God to do things for us. That's not the kind of authority. But the faith to see that Jesus is over all things. He is high and lifted up. He is over this whole world and even this time in history. He is in control. There's no power, ruler, or kingdom that is above him. Nothing is impossible with our Lord. The third miracle we see here is a personal one. It's Peter's mother-in-law. We go from two miracles of outcasts, a leper and a Roman, to someone very close to Jesus, one of Jesus' own inner circle, his disciple Peter's mother-in-law. She is family. She is suffering at home with fever. And that just doesn't mean she had a bad headache, but a dangerous fever. She is in bed. And so Jesus goes into Peter's house. He takes her by the hand. And as soon as he does that, the fever immediately is gone. And she gets up and it says, begins to serve Jesus. And what a beautiful picture this is. My mother has experienced two miracles in her life. She was hit by a car when she was just a little girl, and she flew a great distance through the air, landed on the pavement so hard that they thought that she was dead. They rushed her to the hospital. A pastor came, prayed over her with my grandmother, and the doctors didn't think she would make it, but she miraculously did. Another time was when she was also little. She ate a whole lot of my grandma's pills, diet pills, and she thought that they were candy. And when they found her, she was motionless and unresponsive, just a little girl. And again, she was rushed in. And again, the family prayed. And again, another miracle. Mom lived. And just like Peter's mother-in-law, my mom has spent her life since serving Jesus, serving all of us, but in his name. I think because of what she went through, she had a special relationship, a special supply of his grace and faith, because he had personally healed her. And God has worked through my mom in this life. She's prayed for years for her siblings and spoke to them about Christ, and each one came to faith before they died. And she did that with her parents too. And she's done that for me and my sister. I think of that Randy Travis song, "When Mama Prays, Good Things Happen." This is my mom. And we see this in our lives today. Jesus heals even in our lives. He works in the prayers of his people. It's personal. We don't always see it first. Maybe, like I said at the beginning, some prayers are unanswered the way that we had hoped. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't worked or saved that person or done things inside that we can't see. He's always at work to help us and to save his children and to bring them closer to him. And he hears a mama's prayer. Maybe we can think of a healing story in our own family. I think of that old hymn, "He Touched Me." Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Whether that was a physical healing or peace in the middle of a trial or helping a loved one come to see him, he hears our prayers, and at times we are allowed to even see it. How he makes us whole, how we're not the same. And like Peter's mother-in-law, we get up and we serve him even greater because of all the great things he has done for us. And then the last healing story we read about here is verse 16 and 17, where it says, "When evening came, word had spread. Many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove out evil spirits with a word, and he healed the sick." Word began to spread, and people started to bring to Jesus the sick and those held captive by evil spirits. And Jesus doesn't just heal the sick, we're told here, but he has the power to deliver people out of evil and to deliver them from those chains, those under an evil spirit. There is a scene in the movie The Lord of the Rings of a king who has been taken over by an evil spirit that possesses him. It's controlling him. And he had this voice, this king had this voice telling him what to do and what to believe day after day. And slowly it began to take over and cloud his mind and his judgment. And this king became really a puppet for an evil power that was trying to take down the world. The king became a shadow of the man that he used to be. He was lost kind of on the inside. And you could see there was a power running his life, and it wasn't good and it wasn't God. Well, there's this beautiful scene in the movie where Gandalf, the Christ-like figure in the movie, sees what's really controlling this king, and he speaks the truth to him, and he commands the evil spirit to leave him, and it does. And a light returns to this king who has been lost in shadow. I imagine the healing of the demon-possessed much like this. Jesus was and still is able to deliver us from evil like this, from the lies that we have believed that have become us, from the loss of light to darkness clouding us into defeat and hopelessness at times, from the purposes of which we were made for to starting to live for the purposes of evil that we have become. We may feel powerless at times to change, but he is able. Jesus is able to break every chain in me and restore me to him, to who I am. His truth washes over me. His love completely covers me. His power and grace sets me free. I love the scene in The Chosen of Mary Magdalene, who scripture says was possessed by seven demons until Christ came and set her free. And in the show, they show her as lost and answering to a different name that is not hers and walking with no hope, in shadow, tormented and not wanting to live anymore. But Jesus finds her in that shadow and he speaks her true name and she is restored. When Jesus speaks her name, Mary, and declares that she belongs to him, Mary is restored. Light enters her again. The darkness could not overcome it. The light is greater than the darkness. Christ greater than every evil that would want to possess and control our life. He greater still. His love more. His power greater. His deliverance and salvation greater than any sin that we have done. Any regret or failure or pain in our life. He is greater still. And so even though we might not call it demon possession today, I wonder how many of us at times have been like this, trapped in shadow and darkness too much for us, lost to a lie that has become us, an addiction that has taken over or enslaved us, a power of fear that has controlled us, or a past hurt that has become our master. And everything we have tried to do to break free, we can't seem to. Well, Jesus is the answer. He alone can set us free. There is power in His name. When you call out to Him, when you trust in Him and His love and embrace and believe in the truth of God's Word and let go of the lies and know who you are in Him, you are His child, whom He loves, whom He is pleased with. He has died for you. And this sin, this thing, no longer defines you, controls you, for He is your life. In Him we get a life. The light of life now lives inside of us, and He can break every chain. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and life to the full. I am no longer a slave to sin or to fear. I am a child of God. Exodus 15:26. He says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Oh, how He does. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.